Well, once again, we want to welcome you back, Pastor Paul Harmon, Pastor Andre Mansour. Pastor Andre is going to be bringing the message this morning, and I'm excited. We are always thrilled when we get a chance to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to all of us, especially for the dedicated men and women that serve so diligently here at Hope Chapel for our community and around the world. And Pastor Andre fits that exact example. So let me just pray the message. A blessing of God for you is coming through this man of God in the way that the message has been put together. So, Heavenly Father, once again, we love you so much. There's so many things that you have for us, endless amount. You are eternal, your word is eternal, and the riches of your grace are certainly eternal. So, Lord, may you move wonderfully through the message today. It's designed for each one of us, and allow the peace and the confidence and hope renewed for those of us who gather around your word this very day, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Andre, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And hey, again, happy Thanksgiving. We just had Thanksgiving a couple days ago, and I'm so hoping that you had a wonderful time with your immediate family, whether you got to visit them or even FaceTime or Zoom them. But we're so grateful to have an opportunity to just sit around a table with people and get to be together and show gratitude. I'm so grateful for me having this opportunity here on this Sunday. I get to wrap up this sermon series about the harvest of hope. And man, it's been such an amazing, amazing experience for me, and I hope it's been for you as well. I want to just recap the messages that we've had so far. It all started with a hope in a hopeless place. Then when all seems hopeless, hope or high water. When hope is gone with no reason to live, hope in action, hope in Hope Chapel, breakthrough with hope and gratitude, and then today I get to wrap it up with my message titled, Taking Back Hope. I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and man, am I so excited about today's message because it covers one of my favorite characters in the Bible besides Jesus, and it's going to be about King David. But first, before anything, let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And here we get to look at this time where the people of Israel, well, they're back at it again with another war. Can you believe it? Just happens again. But before we dig deep, before we go into our text, I want to give you a little bit of a background of Israel from we are first introduced to them until up to this point. All right, so Israel, they came together through Jacob. 12 tribes formed through Jacob and his sons and grandsons. Jacob's son, Joseph, was sold to Egypt. Joseph becomes a leader, gets in leadership. Famine happens. Joseph's brothers come to him to help during the famine. Family moves to Egypt and are treated like royalty. Then Joseph passes away later on. Joseph's reputation is forgotten. And then the Israelites become slaves in Egypt. Then we have Moses, who's born and is raised by the royal family in Egypt. Then God speaks to Moses. And then we have Moses' encounter with Pharaoh. Then we have the great exodus out of Egypt. Then you have 40 years in wilderness with disobedience, bitterness, etc. Moses hears from God on Mount Sinai and is given the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which include also the Ten Commandments. And then we have the Ark of the Covenant being given directions on how to build by God to Moses. Then Moses passes away. Joshua takes over leadership. We arrive at the Promised Land. Then there's a lot of wars. There's disobedience from the people of Israel. There's the aspect of neglecting God. And guess what? More wars. Are you surprised? Then the Ark of Covenant gets stolen, and then it gets returned. And then the Israelites decide, you know what? We no longer want to worship God. We want a king. And so, sure enough, a king was given to them to reign over them instead of God being their direct leader. So King Saul was anointed as first king of Israel. And then here we are, during King Saul's reign. So we get to see in chapter 17, it talks right from the beginning. It talks about how the Philistines had lined up their army, and then you have the army of Israel from Saul that is lined up as well. And then we have another war. And then we get introduced to this young man. His name is David. And I want to take a look at David and who he is before we even go into the story. I want to take a look at his, well, attributes. What made him the person who he was. So, David, his father's name is Jesse, and he is the youngest of 8 children. At that time, he's predicted to be about a teenager. Here's a couple of things that we should know about David. David was a shepherd. He's a musician. He's young. He's a sharpshooter with a slingshot. And did I say that he's young? And here's another cool thing. Before this war with Goliath present, we got to see David being anointed as king of Israel during the reign of King Saul. Now, that's some spicy news. Can you imagine something like that happening nowadays? Somebody out of nowhere gets elected as president while the president is still in office and his term is not over. How crazy would that be? But this happened right here. You have David being anointed as king of Israel in front of all his family. So this was not a private event. This wasn't an occasion where David was taken aside. I was like, hey, I'm going to anoint you as king, but please don't tell anybody, okay? No, this was something that was very big, and you know how big it was because in this chapter, chapter 17, we get to see the aspect of jealousy from his brothers. So here we are, back chapter 17. We have people of Israel. We have the Philistines. They're lined up, and then out of nowhere, we see in verse 4, it says, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. So here we have this humongous being. Let me break it down to you. Goliath was about 3 meters in height, which is about 10 feet tall. This dude was so strong, the armor that he was wearing was about 125 pounds. 125 pounds of armor this 10-foot giant was wearing. And not only that, his spearhead alone weighed about 15 pounds. So this dude was just insanely large. People knew when they saw him that he was devastating. And in my topic today, I want to talk about how in life we have these enemies, we have these giants, we have these Goliaths in our life that come in and steal hope. And what I want to focus on today is to move from the focus on the giant, that Goliath that we have, the champion of the enemy, to focus on hope being renewed and brought back to us. And so my first point is facing the champion of your enemy, right? Israel's enemy was Goliath. They were mortified. They were scared. They did not want to send out anybody, so much so that we see that there was a great reward put out by anybody that would go out there and defeat Goliath. Even in verse 9, you see Goliath himself saying, if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. I want to go back just a moment. We have to realize that when Goliath is introduced, they don't just introduce him as a normal man. He has a title, and that title is champion. People are usually not just given a title from the get-go. They have to earn their titles. They have to earn the ability to be called a champion. That means this dude walked around, destroyed people for a living. He was ruthless. He did not care. He just went and did what he was ordered to do, went back home and took a nap. This guy was a champion. And the people of Israel knew that. We have to recognize the champion that we're facing in our own life. Just like Israel, they knew that they were facing someone with a history. Did you know that when we are facing champions and giants in our life, sometimes we don't even recognize that they're giants? But let me give you a couple of examples. Maybe you may relate with something that you may be going through or have been battling through for a while. Doubt, fear, anxiety, inadequacy, addiction, anger, comfort, rejection. These things may have crept into your life, and they don't usually start off as giants. They don't come in being introduced as giants. No, they come in as little tiny thoughts. And in the beginning, they may sound good. In the beginning, maybe we were able to cover them up, but it starts growing. And it starts growing, and it grows, and it grows until it becomes a total giant in your life. But I have to warn you about something. When we deal with these kind of issues, when we deal with these giants in our lives, we have to realize that they're not a person. Even though a person may be causing you to lose hope through different aspects of hardship, we have to realize that it's not a person that's the problem, but an attribute or the thought that the enemy put in our minds. Ephesians 6:12, you know it well, but let's go over it again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So it's very clear. It's very clear that we're not fighting against another human being. No. No, we're fighting against something that the enemy has put together. We're fighting against something that the enemy is just trying to use to destroy us because he knows what the battle looks like. You know, the Israelites, as we see in verse 16, it says that the Philistines drew near and presented themselves 40 days, morning and evening. Can you imagine just sitting there, idle? Just sitting there doing nothing? It's so interesting to look at how wars were fought sometimes in the old age. You'd have an army and another army, and then you bring out your two biggest dudes, your two strongest dudes, and they just go at it, right? And whoever wins, that's the victorious army. Their champion is no longer. And over here, you have Goliath coming out, taunting the people of Israel, the people of God, for 40 days and for 40 nights. How many of us can say, you know what? I have been dealing with my giant for 40 days, 40 nights. I can't even sleep. It's taunting me day and night. Maybe for some of you, it could be 40 weeks. Maybe some, it's been 40 years. But man, sometimes this giant just comes and blabs and blabs and blabs. And all we can do is just sit there in fear and tremble. But I gotta tell you that you need to understand the battle. To be able to battle well, you have to understand the battle that you're going through. And that's my second point, understanding the battle. First, I have to let you know something. In this battle, in this fight that you have against your giant, you're not David. Is it okay to say that? I believe it is. You are not David. You are still the people of God. You are still Israel. Because you know who David is? David is Jesus Christ. He comes and he does not give a rip on who's who, what their name is, what their history looks like, and he will go to battle. Guess what? He already went to battle for us. Jesus is the David in our story. It's not you and me. The battle was won a long time ago on Calvary's cross. Man, I feel so good just hearing that. It feels so good to know that I no longer have that weight on my shoulders to be the one to take out a slingshot and whip some giant in the face. No, that's been done for me. When we realize that the battle has already been won, we can focus on walking in victory. Can you imagine? You have a big game ahead of you, right? You're preparing and everybody around you talks up the team that's going up against you, right? It's kind of like, well, I'm not going to rub salt in a wound, but a couple years ago, my favorite football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, ended up playing against Tom Brady and his New England Patriots. And everybody discounted the Philadelphia Eagles real quick. I'm a big Eagles guy. I've been through a lot of bad, but that year, everybody was talking bad. Everybody was talking about how it's going to be just a cakewalk for the Patriots. And then sure enough, the Super Bowl comes around, and we put up a great fight. The Philadelphia Eagles win. And what a great victory that was. Can you imagine you being in that place? You're going up against a team that has been said to just walk all over you, stomp you to the ground, and then you show up to game day and realize that they forfeited, that they said, you know what, we're just not going to play today. We're going to take the loss. What kind of feeling would you have? You'd be relieved, right? Even though you prepared and everything, you'd still be relieved. A part of you would feel a sigh of relief to say, I don't have to go through this battle. And over here, we have that example for us. Knowing that Jesus has fought the battle for us, knowing that Jesus has overcome all of these things, we understand that we no longer have to take on the burden of fighting, but we have to understand that we still got to walk in a way of victory. Remember, you're God's people. This means that we're bound to face trouble, and giants will come into our life. But we still have the upper hand when it comes to dealing with issues of life. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is what? He is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And that means that being a child of God, we have hope in Christ. We have hope in Christ. I love this scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. It says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise of the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Man, knowing that I'm a child of God, no matter what my life looks like, no matter how much hope has been lost, I still have hope in Christ. And in here, we see it saying that this hope is like an anchor for our soul. Many times what ends up happening is sometimes we accidentally chop off the rope that's holding the anchor to the boat. And then we kind of get wobbly, right? We start panicking. When we lose sight of Christ, it's like chopping the rope that holds the anchor. It's like that chain snapping. But what's so cool is that Christ makes himself available. He's immovable. He does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the great thing about knowing who has fought for us on our behalf. That he does not change. That he does not waver. He will remain steadfast. And that brings me to my final point, taking back hope. We have to understand that without faith in God, all hope will be lost. That's something that is very important for us to understand, that without faith in God, all hope will be lost. If you ever watch NASCAR, you'll notice that the drivers have a headset in their helmet, and that headset allows them to communicate with their pit crew, right? When you see in the races, when they do the pit stop, about seven people come out and they help change tires, check everything on the car. But then there's a pit crew that's sitting back there that's always communicating with the driver. Why do they communicate? It's so that they can coach them, so they can help them correct the mistakes that they're making. Maybe they're oversteering or understeering. Maybe they're being too careful. Maybe they need to get a little bit more dangerous. Maybe there is one turn that they're not able to make. It's all left turns, but you know what? It still happens. That's what the pit crew is there for. It's the same thing with God. God has given us the Holy Spirit, the helper, so that we can have a communication with him, so that we can hear the voice of God in our ears saying, I want you to do this. I want you to be careful with the next thing you say. I want you to be careful with the next step you make. I want you to stop now before things go bad. We have that with God. But when we don't have faith, we start losing that communication. The batteries get drained. We don't allow ourselves to get refilled. We don't allow ourselves to get recharged. And so that communication device stops working. Guess what? Is God done speaking? No. God is always speaking. But it's us on the receiving end. We start neglecting the health of the thing that allows us to hear. Our spiritual walk, our faith. When we drop the ball there, when we stop having faith in God, we start losing communication and we can no longer hear him. It's kind of like doing archery with a blindfold on. I'm sure you've seen it in so many movies. You always have this person with an apple on top of their head. And here's the archer that gets blindfolded and, you know, they line up, they take the shot and pa, you get it, right? But can you imagine if it was you or I, we're just given a bow and an arrow and then, well, we'll not say we won't say a person, just to stand there with an apple on top of it. And you say, okay, go for it. Put on the blindfold, pick up your bow and arrow and shoot. I got to tell you, I have some archery experience. I will miss 100% of the time unless I get super lucky. But having that sight allows us to know what we're aiming at, right? When we lose sight of God, we don't know how to aim anymore. We don't know the directions that we ought to go in anymore. And also, we have to be careful. We need to have obedience and resilience. Obedience and resilience are keys to keeping hope. We have to obey the word of God, and we have to be resilient to where we do not give up. We don't say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. We can't just walk away from the battle. Jesus could have walked away so many times, but he knew not to. In our temptation, in our hard times, in our tribulations, we can't just say, you know what? I'm done. We are called to better things than this, than to just give up. We're called to be resilient in the name of Jesus. No matter how much blood, sweat, and tears we have to learn to get back up through the pain and through the fear, knowing that Jesus is on our side so that we can come out victorious. Walking in victory doesn't mean we're walking on this easy road. No, walking in victory means knowing that victory is yours, but you still have to walk through a very rocky road. If you don't obey the word of God, you're going to have a hard time walking in victory. If you have a hard time understanding the word of God, you're going to have a hard time walking in victory. If you have a hard time just understanding what God has for you, the plans that he has for you, you're going to have a hard time walking in victory. I want to give you two steps to keeping hope. First one, it allows us to overcome the plans of the enemy faster. Second one, well, it's for when we find ourselves in trouble. So the first one, time in the Word will produce faith. Faith will produce hope. That allows us to overcome the plans of the enemy faster. Second one, when you find yourself in trouble, you do these things. You read the Word, you pray, you worship, and repeat. You read the Word, you pray, you worship, repeat, until you're no longer in trouble. Because guess what? The enemy that we have is an enemy that plots so many great things, but it's an enemy that's been overcome, and his plots can be destroyed like that through worship, through prayer, and in the name of Jesus. There's a song that's been stuck in my head that was introduced to us at the young adults group a couple of Sundays ago, and it's called Promises, and it's by Maverick City Music. And the bridge of that song is just so good, and it's been stuck with me, and it's been on my heart. And I gotta say, like, it kind of sums up this whole entire series of hope. It really does. And it says this. It says, I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. Man, just hearing those words gives me so much hope. I'm not even doing anything. I'm just hearing those words. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. What a promise. What a promise. I love the truth behind those words. Man, I want to stand on that day and night. No matter what my giant may look like, no matter what I'm facing, knowing that he's already won the battle for me, that I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I have to just walk in the aspect of knowing that I'm victorious. Come on. So good. God is just so good to me. God is so good to you. Maybe this is the first time that you've ever heard this concept, that God is just that good to you, that God has already overcome your battle no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like, it's been defeated. Your giant has been slain. Man, would you just take time today after this message is over to just say, God, I want you to just instill in me that peace and that comfort, knowing that you've won this battle, knowing that you've overcome all of these things for me, that I just have to walk in victory, in faith and obedience, and know that the enemy has no stronghold on me anymore. Would you declare that today over yourself, over your family, over your friends, over the person that you think is your enemy, even though they're not? They're not. Would you just declare today that you've overcome, that you've overcome through Jesus Christ? So good to just think about that. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. I want to give you a resource. If this is something that maybe you want to dig deeper into, there is a great book that I have been able to lead a bunch of our students at the young adults group through, and it's called Goliath Must Fall. And the author is Louis Giglio. This book has just been amazing, not just for those who went through it, the students, but for myself as well, just to take a look and see the personhood of Jesus and how through him so much has already fallen, so much have already been overcome. Would you check that out if you're interested? Again, the name of the book is Goliath Must Fall, and the author is Louis Giglio. I want to pray for you today. As we close, I want to just wrap up this sermon series about hope. It's part of our church name, Hope Chapel. I want to pray this blessing over you. And I want you to remember the promises of God, that he's good to you every day, every moment of every day. Would you close your eyes with me? Father, I'm so grateful for the work that you've done on the cross through Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so grateful that the battle that we feel like has been going on for forever has already been won. So Lord, I pray that for every single person that has heard this message today, to be able to change the way they see things, to change the way they think about things, so that they would just feel so much more victorious, feel like they've already overcome so much. And Lord, I pray that we would all walk in faith through obedience in you, God, in your word. Lord, we want that hope. We want to be able to be resilient. So Lord, would you give us that hope? And when we seem like we're just lacking and slacking, Lord, would you just remind us? Lord, we want to have your voice in our ears. So Lord, we pray that our faith would just continue growing, that it will continue to just be there. Lord, we pray that no matter what comes our way, no matter what plots the enemy has, Lord, I pray that you would just help us walk right through those things in victory. Lord, we want to be able to constantly know and constantly declare that you've won, you've overcome, and as your people, as the children of God, we're overcomers as well. Father, I pray a blessing over every person and every household that is represented over this message. Everybody that's heard this message today, that you would bless them, keep them healthy, and keep them strong and filled with your joy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Friends, I'm looking forward to hear how the Lord used this message in your life. Not for me, but for the glory of God. I want to rejoice with you. I'm looking forward to this next month, month of December. It's Christmas time. We're less than a month away from Christmas. I hope you started some of your shopping already. I'm excited for what the Lord has in store for this church, for the speakers to come, for the series that is to come. It's going to be so good. And man, I cannot wait for 2021 to show you what all the Lord has in store for Hope Chapel, for you and for me. Till then, may God bless you, may he prosper you, keep you safe and healthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.